We want to thank our sponsors of this special on-location visit to Normandy, France, DAV of Minnesota, Chanhassen American Legion Post 580, and Minnesota Military and Veterans Museum. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Doug Wortham. We're on site at the Braycourt Manor, and we're commemorating, of course, the 80th anniversary of D-Day. And my co-hosts are with me still. I've got the curator of the Minnesota Military and Veteran Museum, Doug Thompson, and noted author and D-Day expert, Dominique Francois. And gentlemen, we're here at Braycourt Manor. And Dominique, where is Braycourt Manor as it relates to where we are in France right now?
So, yes, Braycourt Manor is near Sainte-Marie-du-Mont, and which was the first town liberated in this area by the Americans.
Yeah, so, Braycourt Manor, we hear about this. It's talked about in the series, The Band of Brothers, and it was important because the fields right out here are where those four German guns were that were trying to, or they were defending Utah Beach. And so maybe you can just kind of describe a little bit about the importance of this area right here.
Yes, this area is a little bit high. It's on the hill near Utah Beach, about 4 or 5 kilometers from the beach. And it was very important for the Americans to destroy these guns. And the guns were hiding on the trees of a big hedgerow. And so, as you can see, there was big hedgerows everywhere in this area. So it was a very difficult area for the Americans, because the Germans can have some snipers. And we are just in front of the manor of Braycourt, which is an old manor, probably 300, 400 years old, and where was living the de Valavier family.
And Doug, I'll come over to you. So we know that Lieutenant Winters and his team, Easy Company, right? They had that mission to take out those guns. What kind of guns were they, though?
These were German 105-millimeter guns, but it wasn't just the four guns. The guns were defended by several German machine gun positions that were guarding the rear of the guns. So it wasn't just a matter of taking out the guns. It was a matter of suppressing the enemy fire from these machine guns in the corners of this field that we see here, if you can picture it, or if you remember it from Band of Brothers. So they weren't just taking out guns. They were assaulting a fully well-defended German gun battery here.
And we talk about just the numbers, approximately how many of the American troops came in to take out the guns?
There is 13. There were not only Easy Company guys, it was really a hodgepodge unit of paratroopers. The planning to assault this gun position happened in a matter of minutes. So it wasn't just Easy Company guys. There were various men from other units that joined Captain Winters. But as these well-trained and highly motivated paratroopers were eager to get into action and to make a difference that day, they were able to form an ad hoc battle group and go in, assault, and eventually destroy these guns that were so important for the Germans in their defense of Utah Beach.
And so again, it was the four guns. Obviously, they succeeded in taking out the guns and in defeating that the garrison of German troops that were here. Not only the importance of the guns, though, right? The results of knocking those guns out, there was some pretty significant discoveries within the manor or in the surrounding area as far as intelligence. Can you describe a little bit about that and maybe what kind of impact that could have had?
Sure. Well, first the impact of the guns kept these guns from firing on Utah Beach, resulting in probably the saving of hundreds of American lives that would have been Americans that would have been killed or injured by these guns. Captain or Lieutenant Winters at the time, Lieutenant Winters, found a German map case. And this German map case had maps of many of the German gun positions in this area. What that did for the Americans is it allowed them to identify where these guns were and take them out. And it hastened the... it hastened the capture of this area, and it hastened the destruction of those guns that could have caused a great deal of damage to other American forces on Utah Beach and coming in from the beaches.
Now, one of the interesting things through conversations we were having here is after these fields, Dom, after the fields were secured, just outside of where those guns were, that field then was turned into some type of a field hospital, wasn't it?
Yes. What we have learned that this field became the 42nd field hospital. So we have just seen a picture of this field hospital on this field. So that's very interesting too.
As we are standing here right outside the manor, we had the opportunity to actually go inside and. Although there's some restoration going on, still a lot of remnants of what took place 80 years ago. Can you describe a little bit about that, Dom, and you know, just maybe with kind of that impact?
Yes. We, as we were with Charles de Valavier, he showed us several impacts on the walls of the manor, near the windows and on the wall, and. Probably they don't want to forget what was going on this house, and that's something. One of the messages that Charles gave us, it's we must never forget what's happened here.
Now, one of the real interesting things, and you already had mentioned the hedgerows, but I wanted to come back to that because as we drove onto the grounds to get to the manor, the road is on both sides. You've got the hedgerows, and that was kind of a difficult situation for our troops. Well, on both sides it was difficult, but describe the hedgerows, Doug, and really kind of what kind of a role they played or impact they had in the fighting and defending.
Sure. You know, when they were planning for the invasion of D-Day for Normandy, they knew the hedgerows were here, but they really didn't take into account how massive these hedges were. They're not like English hedges that are short and well-trimmed. These hedges were actually built as fences for different farmers' fields. Some of these fields are very small. Some are larger. There's narrow country lanes that go in between these hedgerows that allow movement of horses and wagons and stuff. But tactically for the Germans, it made an ideal defensive structure because they could hide behind these hedges. It was impossible to cross these fields without being under direct German fire. Some of these hedges, even today, they form canopies over the road, which makes great concealment for German troop movements. It really was a tough tactical battle to get through these hedgerows.
And we were looking at the map, the overlay of the grounds and where the four guns were positioned. And Dom, when we were talking about it, the depiction in the movie was actually pretty accurate to the way it really was set up here.
Yes, exactly. That's so. We have been very impressed when we saw the first time the movie Band of Brothers. So that shows that's how accurate was the film and the movie. And they have exactly the hedgerows, the gun emplacement, the position of the American machine gun, and the whole truck. Everything is there.
Well, it's been just a great opportunity to, you know, not only then, of course, see the movie, but then to come here and see in real life what it looks like. And you really get a better understanding of what these American paratroopers went through on that day. And then, of course, you see this and you understand the proximity to Utah Beach and how important this Braycourt Manor and the grounds were for the D-Day and moving on from there. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be back. Thank you to our feature co-sponsor, the Minnesota Military and Veterans Museum. Located at Camp Ripley, the museum strengthens public understanding of how armed conflict and military institutions have shaped Minnesota's and the nation's experience. Minnesotans are mobilizing to build a new world-class military and veterans museum at Camp Ripley, opening in 2026. More information at mnvetmuseum.org. Thank you, Minnesota Military and Veteran Museum, for your sponsorship of Minnesota Military Radio's commemoration of the 80th anniversary of D-Day from Normandy, France. Doug Wortham here, Minnesota Military Radio, and we are back, continuing our commemoration of the 80th anniversary of D-Day. We're now on location at the Normandy American Cemetery. I'm joined by my co-host, the curator of the Minnesota Military and Veteran Museum, Doug Thompson, and also noted author and D-Day expert, Dominique Francois. Looking at the numbers, over 8,500 killed, wounded, or missing in action, and specifically on D-Day, there were 4,414 Allied troops killed, with 2,501 of them being Americans, more than 5,000 wounded. Again, on site here at the Normandy American Cemetery, and Doug, you know, as I'm standing here looking at the cemetery and these grounds, I know what it felt like for me the first time I saw Arlington National Cemetery, or even our Fort Snelling Cemetery, and our state veteran cemeteries in Minnesota, to know that we have grounds in front of us with thousands of American soldiers buried here in foreign land, fighting or dying because they were fighting to liberate this country. Just an unbelievable set of emotions for me.
Yeah, you know, me as well. I've been here before, but it's one of those places that has a really special feeling about it. You feel a little bit, a tinge of sadness for all these young men that were killed in action, but a great sense of pride that they're able to free a continent, you know, from the oppression that they're suffering under, and you know, free our French friends who are our oldest allies, you know, America's first allies. So, you know, Lafayette, we are here again, right? And it gives me a sense of pride that our country is able to facilitate their freedom and to help them regain their liberty.
So, Dominique, you know, you talked about the history, of course, with your grandfather, your father. You've done a lot of studying. Research. You've met so many people. What kind of feeling do you have when you come to this American cemetery? What goes through your mind?
I think I have two feelings. The first feeling is that it's always emotion to see all these young men who die for our freedom, but also to imagine that all this brain which has disappeared. And as a father, it's difficult for me to imagine for family to have lost all these young boys from America. The second feeling is that this beautiful cemetery is never the same. Each time I come here, it's different. There is other emotion. That's the trees, the location seems always different. So it's another emotion that I have, yeah.
So, Doug, I'll come back over to you. You know, we've been sharing stories of Minnesota service members who died in D-Day, had some type of a contribution, and we know that there are about 242 Minnesotans buried here. One in particular is a person by the name of Dale Atwood. I'm just wondering if you might be able to share a little bit about that with us.
Yeah, so Dale Atwood from Little Lind, Minnesota, dropped into Normandy with the 506 Parachute Infantry Regiment. On June 6th, he was killed trying to knock out a German tank with a bazooka. Here's a young man who joined the service, came over to France, never went home. I can imagine what his family went through when they got that telegram that he wasn't with us anymore. A young man, one of thousands who put on the uniform and did his service to the utmost.
And so a young man of, you know, several thousand. And, you know, what about a unique story that was brought up? Somebody from Benson, Minnesota. And, you know, the unique thing, maybe you can kind of tell about the parameters of the people that are buried here, right? Well, we know that they had to have served in Normandy, died here. But this one has kind of a special story as well. Why don't you share this with us?
Sure. Lieutenant William McGowan was a fighter pilot. Flew P-47 Thunderbolts. And on the day of June 6th, 1944 on D-Day, he was strafing a German enemy position. His plane was hit by enemy fire, and it crashed into a hedgerow. His remains were unrecovered. And a few years ago, his remains, some researchers had found out where his plane was crashed. They went and did a search. They found some of his bodily remains, and they were able to inter him here at the cemetery in 2022. Lieutenant McGowan was the last burial here at the Normandy American Cemetery. So of all of the 9,500 graves here, a Minnesotan was the last one to be buried.
So again, a lieutenant, William McGowan, from a small town of Benson, Minnesota, western Minnesota, the last American buried here, and just a few years ago after they had discovered the rest of his remains.
Yes, that's true. I think the last burial before him was, and somebody will probably correct us if we're wrong, I think was in 1945 or 46 when they had the last burial.
So, you know, again, looking at the grounds and we're walking here, the cemetery didn't originally, this isn't the original spot. There was an initial spot for the burials. Dom, maybe you can tell us just a little bit about that. And then maybe if you know, why was this particular spot chosen?
Yes, during the battles, they had what we call temporary cemeteries. The bodies of the soldier were usually wrapped in a parachute or in a poncho, something like that. And then after the war, they regrouped all the bodies of the American soldiers in the 60s here in this cemetery. And all the temporary cemeteries, and one of the temporary American temporary cemetery was used later by the German for their cemetery. So the cemetery of Lacombe was originally an American temporary cemetery.
Well, and again, and these are just pristine grounds, very well taken care of. It certainly highlights the level of respect that that our partners, our allied partners here, the French, have for what our Americans did and the sacrifices that they made.
Yes, it's exactly the case. We that's the reason why we decided that this land was donated to the American, to United States of America. So here, that's an American land. And that's the only... the only land which was donated to a country in Normandy.
So as we went through the visitor center, you know, we got to watch the introductory video. We saw, you know, the story in pictures and in writing, and just kind of an unbelievable lead up from where we started with previous episodes to where we are now. And Doug, I'm just wondering if you might be able to kind of walk through in this last minute here real quick. You know, what are your thoughts about what you've seen in this part of the cemetery and the visiting center?
Well, you know, it's like Dom said, you know, this is really American soil here, American soil in France. It's kind of holy ground. It's you know, a lasting memorial to those young men that fought for liberty. 52 Minnesotans died on June 6, 1944. The highest ranking American officer killed in Europe in World War II was General Leslie McNair from Verndale, Minnesota. So we have privates to generals buried here with that Minnesota connection, and shows Minnesota's connection to the larger national and global picture.
Yeah, and that's something that we talk about all the time, is the ties that Minnesota has to many, many parts of our history. This is Doug Wortham with Minnesota Military Radio. Thank you to our feature co-sponsor, Chanhassen American Legion Post 580. The post is a pillar of the community and lives up to the vision of continuing service to our country through service to the community. American Legion Chanhassen Post 580 was formed in 1952 by World War II veterans. Sponsorship of our commemoration of the 80th anniversary of D-Day honors their memory and sends a clear message that they will support veterans, service members, and military families of all eras. Thank you, Chanhassen American Legion Post 580, for your sponsorship of Minnesota Military Radio's commemoration of the 80th anniversary of D-Day from Normandy, France. We're back here commemorating the 80th anniversary of D-Day. Doug Wortham with Minnesota Military Radio. Again, I've got the curator of the Minnesota Military and Veteran Museum, Doug Thompson, with me, along with noted author and D-Day expert Dominique Francois. You know, I think we would do injustice to our audience if we didn't spend a little bit more time talking about this cemetery. And, you know, we've already described some of the feelings and, you know, what it's like walking here, being here, and just looking around and just seeing the number of people that are here paying their respects. You know, not only Americans, but people from around the globe coming here to witness or to see the ultimate sacrifice that was paid by, in this case, our American troops, but Allied troops in general, when you look at the big picture of Normandy and D-Day. And Doug, I want to come to you, you know, as we talk about the grounds here and the American Battle Monuments Commission. You know, they own this place, they run this place. But I was just wondering if you might be able to tell us a little bit about what that is and maybe some thoughts on that.
Sure. Well, you know, the American Battle Monuments Commission is an agency of the United States government. They operate and maintain over 26 American cemeteries and 30 memorials. And they've got monuments and markers in 17 different countries. The Normandy American Cemetery Memorial is one of 14 permanent American World War II military cemeteries on foreign soil. As we've said before, if you look at the grounds of the cemetery here, they're absolutely immaculate. They're beautifully, they're laid out. They're very respectful. It's really easy to find graves here. If there's a family member out there that has a loved one that's buried in the cemetery and they've never seen the grave before, they can contact the American Battle Monuments Commission and they will give a plot number and, if requested, will send a photograph of the grave. In some cases, these might be the first family members that have ever seen this loved one's grave. So the American Battle Monuments Commission is a great organization, and they do good work for veterans and their families, and to keep the memory and spirits of these soldiers alive and out where people can pay respects to them.
So we can hear the bells tolling in the background as we're doing this recording here. Just a reminder of the many features here on the grounds, the chapel. With a beautiful mosaic ceiling, and there's symbolic statues throughout the grounds. And of course, you know, it wouldn't be right if there wasn't some type of a panoramic view of Omaha Beach and of course the English Channel. Dominic, I'll come to you. You know, you've described already how you feel about walking on here on these grounds, being somebody who, you know, born and raised, you you know, Normandy, your entire life, the grounds, the sites. When you come out here, the many times that you've come out here, you said it's a different feeling. But what are the things that really attract you, or what are you attracted to seeing? What do you like to always come back to kind of reflect on or to see or spend some time with?
What I like to do is to see some new graves that I have not seen before, and to make some research about the soul here who is buried here. And that's something that I like to do, because I am always interested to know how this soul here have been killed, what's happened to him, what was in which condition he was killed, and where. So, and that's always very interesting to do that. And again, the location of this cemetery at the top of the hill of Omaha Beach is really the perfect place for to have established this American cemetery. That's they cannot choose a better land for the resting place of all these soul years.
So we are standing in close proximity to another tie to Minnesota, Doug, and I want to come back to you about this, and that is to talk about General Leslie James McNair, who is buried here. Maybe you can just tell us some of that backstory and the contributions he had.
Sure. General McNair was killed on July 25th, 1944, in a case of a friendly fire. He was killed in an American bombing campaign that was trying to destroy some German gun positions near the city of San Lo. General McNair was the highest-ranking American officer killed in the European theater in World War II. A little bit more of his backstory: West Point graduate. General Omar Bradley called Leslie McNair the most brilliant mind in the American Army at the time. He was responsible for designing, developing the divisional structures for the American Army Division that carried the American Army through World War II. So what he set into motion with building this American Army was very important, and it got us through World War II.
So, although not a Minnesotan, just up the couple of plots over is somebody who had a close tie to the President of the United States at the time. And maybe you can tell us about that story real quick.
Sure. So President Theodore Roosevelt, Rough Rider Teddy Roosevelt, had a couple of sons that were in military service. One was an aviator in World War I named Quentin Roosevelt. He was killed, shot down in World War I, and buried near Chateau Thierry, where the Battle of Belleau Wood happened. His other brother, Teddy Roosevelt Jr., was a divisional assistant divisional commander with the 4th Infantry Division on Utah Beach, and he was awarded the Medal of Honor for his actions on Utah Beach and getting the 4th Infantry Division off of the beachhead and inland. Unfortunately, a couple weeks after the landings, he died of a heart attack. His brother Quentin was disinterred and reburied at the American Cemetery, the Normandy American Cemetery, alongside his brother Teddy. And we're here at their graves now, looking at these two sons of a president buried next to each other.
Yeah, just an interesting way in which things unfold. And, you know, at the Normandy American Cemetery here, from privates to generals buried in this location, and a lot of Minnesota ties. The grave sites, or excuse me, the area of land sits on about 172 and a half acres, over 9,387 headstones, and over 9,200 Latin crosses. There's 149 Stars of David, and 1,557 tablets of the missing, 45 sets of brothers, and 3 Medal of Honor recipients. And the cemetery was dedicated on July 18th, 1956. And there was a tribute inside the visitor center to the brothers that sparked the story of Saving Private Ryan. And a lot of stories to be told if we could only go back and talk. But as Dom said, it's great to come here to reflect, and as you like to do, research and hear that backstory, discover that backstory, and pay that special tribute to those who have fallen. We've got 30 seconds, gentlemen, and if we get into more questions, we will run out of time. I just want to say that a very somber day here at the Normandy American Cemetery, and you know, without the support of those back in the States to help us get here, our sponsors, DAV Minnesota and the Minnesota Military and Veterans Museum, along with the American Legion Post 580, we wouldn't be here, and so we just can't thank them enough. This is Doug Wortham with Minnesota Military Radio. Thank you to our feature co-sponsor, DAV of Minnesota. With more than 19,000 members and 32 chapters across the state, DAV of Minnesota was built on the concept of veterans serving veterans. DAV of Minnesota provides a network of services and leads the way to provide a lifetime of services to veterans of all military branches and eras. DAV of Minnesota fulfills our nation's promises to the men and women who served. Thank you, DAV of Minnesota, for your sponsorship of Minnesota Military Radio's commemoration of the 80th anniversary of D-Day from Normandy, France. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio and this final segment of our special commemoration of the 80th anniversary of D-Day. I'm your host, Doug Wortham. You've traveled with us. We've taken this fantastic tour through Normandy, and I've had two excellent co-hosts with me to help share stories of what happened here back on that day, and also to share stories of Minnesota service members. So Doug Thompson, who's the curator of Minnesota Military and Veterans Museum, and of course Dominic Francois, who's a noted D-Day author and expert on the Allied invasion. What you might not know is that you know, we've got people behind the scenes that kind of help put all of this stuff together. And we had our producer with us from iHeartMedia, Zach Halverson. And we had also the event coordinator with us, retired Colonel Kevin Olson. And I'm now here recording in Paris for this wrap-up, getting ready to come back to Minnesota. And Kevin Olson is going to join me now. We're going to reflect a little bit on the trip. And so, Kevin, I'll just turn to you and say, hey, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. Thanks for the work you've done on this.
Well, I appreciate that, but more than anything, I appreciate the opportunity to be a part of telling all the great stories of all of our service members, and in particular the Minnesotans, that we visited the places where they started to liberate Western Europe, all of Europe, and then ultimately win World War II. It was quite a momentous of occasion for me personally to see this.
And so, Kevin, obviously you're the event coordinator. You coordinated to get us to where we needed to go. But we couldn't have done it, you couldn't have done it, Minnesota Military Radio couldn't have done it without some great and fantastic support of a few sponsors. And I was hoping you might be able to tell us about our three feature sponsors, the DAV Minnesota, of course the Minnesota Military and Veterans Museum, and then our American Legion Post 580. So if you could just tell us a little bit about these sponsors and really what it means to the show to have them sponsor us.
Well, our listeners owe a debt of gratitude to these incredible organizations. And, you know, DAV of Minnesota, you know, that's more than a century old organization, and they are devoted to taking care of serving veterans, veterans serving veterans. And in Minnesota, the 19,000 members and the 32 chapters statewide, you know, they take care of those that need help, all the interests of our disabled veterans, their families, their spouses, and their caregivers. This really hit home to so many of our great folks with DAV of Minnesota. And then couldn't be prouder with Minnesota Military and Veterans Museum. We've heard Doug throughout the last few weeks talking us through the complexities of the various stages of the D-Day invasion. And so many of these artifacts are in the possession of the Minnesota Military and Veterans Museum. And we're mobilizing to build a world-class military and veterans museum at Camp Ripley. And I cannot be excited to hear these stories and these veterans showcased at the new 40,000 square foot facility opening at Camp Ripley in 2026. And then, of course, our great friends with Chan Hassan, American Legion Post 580. You know, we had the opportunity to meet with Commander Glenn Anderson and have him describe why his independent American Legion Post in Chan Hassan would sponsor this. And we learned that in 1952, that post was actually formed by World War II veterans and really laid the groundwork for the post. So just an incredible community-based organization. You haven't been to that facility, you have to go. Great food, great facility. They're involved in everything in the community. Couldn't be prouder of our partnership with that American Legion Post 580 in Chanhassen.
And Kevin, you know, talking about the American Legion, one of the things I didn't know is that there's actually a special relationship from the American Legion here in Paris. And you've done a little bit of research on this. Just wonder if you might be able to share what you know about the American Legion here in Paris.
Well, it comes full circle because as you and I were at the Normandy American Cemetery in reverence for those that are interred there, we did come across the grave of Medal of Honor recipient Brigadier General Teddy Roosevelt Jr., of course the son of President Roosevelt. Well, when he was a lieutenant colonel in 1919, he and a number of other officers formed a temporary committee for the purpose of making sure that we could improve troop morale and take care of the benefits and the requirements of our returning service members from World War I. So here in Paris, it really laid the groundwork for what became the American Legion, and had their very first organizational meeting here. And of course, it's got more than 2 million members throughout the country. So really interesting to learn that the American Legion's their lineage, their history began right here in Paris.
So, Kevin, we've only got a couple of minutes left here in this final segment of this commemoration of the 80th anniversary of D-Day special segment or series. And I thought maybe we just kind of walk through a little bit and just get and just hear some reflection maybe from you. And I'll talk a little bit about how I felt. But I mean, we took a crazy journey and kind of walked this timeline, starting with Operation Overlord and the planning and the strategic thought that went into the execution for D-Day.
Well, I think we both agreed on more than one occasion there are easier places to invade. This is a very complex organization, and what we've learned is that while this began on June 6th, 1944, It was to establish a beachhead to begin a big conveyor belt, you know, and it started with our airborne invasion. It was so interesting to be at Saint-Mère-Église to see what great Minnesotans like Norm Arvidsson did as he flew in that first round of C-47s dropping paratroopers into Normandy, hearing the stories of Bud Olam as he parachuted in with the 505th Parachute Infantry Regiment, as well as Albert Larson with the 505th Parachute Infantry Regiment, and as fellow paratrooper James Carroll. Just incredible heroism.
Yeah, and then we had this trip at Gren, and, you know, a little untold story. And so, Gren was just a neat sight to see. And then we hear this great story about John Hinchcliffe and how, I mean, he really helped to save those American soldiers that were misdropped, those troopers.
From there, we went to Utah Beach and saw where the first bombardment happened, and then imagining that incredible armada off the coast, seeing things like what Ralph Yeager would have seen. And, you know, I was really surprised to learn of the importance of women. Muriel Kapler with the 42nd Field Hospital. She's a Brandon native and was instrumental in establishing our medical presence here in Normandy.
Yeah, and, you know, just so many storied names, Minnesota service members, from Ray Nagel, and we did take a quick detour, went to Braycourt Manor, although no Minnesota ties, but still a great story to tell, and of course, Charles Ace Parker, Kevin, up on Point de Hoc, and, you know, being there and seeing what they had to climb that cliff was just, it was unbelievable. What a crazy sight. And they did it, although disappointed at the top because there were no guns there. They still accomplished the mission.
And it looked over, and what was cool about Point du Hoc is that it overlooked Omaha Beach, and you just hear just the incredible sacrifice and service of so many Minnesotans: Stan Nelson from Anoka, James Middlenberger from Minneapolis, Conway Epperson of Bloomington, Robert Hutch of St. Paul, and others. It was just really inspiring to see the terrain that they had to take.
And of course, Kevin, there was a price that was paid. And so we spent the last few moments at the Normandy American Cemetery. And, you know, Kevin, I couldn't thank Doug Thompson and Dominic Francois enough. They've just done a great service to Minnesota Military Radio. Quickly, Kevin, what would you say to Minnesotans if they decide they might want to travel to France?
If you've enjoyed the programming and the learning of these Minnesota stories, there's so many different places and ways that you can get tours here. Highly recommend this trip to anyone interested.
Well, we really appreciate, Kevin, you and the work you've done. Of course, I've already mentioned Doug Thompson and Dominique Francois. We can't thank our sponsors enough. Minnesota Military Radio and this opportunity to come to France to visit the Normandy sites. We hope that you enjoyed this series of shows, and we appreciate you continuing to listen in on Minnesota Military Radio. Thank you from France, from Normandy.